Holy Spirit, I just thank you for the word that you've given to Michelle. God, I thank you that it's straight from your heart. And so, God, I just pray for her, God, that you would use her, that you'd use her mouth to communicate your heart today. Bless her, Lord. Fill her with your spirit. Put power on these words. In your name we pray. Amen.
My talk is called Forgiveness, or There's a Piranha in My Loving Cup. This story comes from the fact that I have 5 children, and I used to try this little exercise where after the day was over, we'd all gather in my bed before bedtime and read and love on each other. And so I turned to my children. It was a particularly difficult day. I said, "Hey, how's everyone doing? How are you feeling?" And they're like, five and down. And I think 6. So my little 6-year-old looks up at me and he goes, "Mom, there's a piranha in my loving cup." And I was like, "Oh." I said, "Did I put it there?" He said, "Yes." So in families, things get messy and we put piranhas in each other's loving cups. And it was pretty much wrecking his day. So right then, we were able to work it out. I was able to say, "I'm really sorry for what I did," and he was able to forgive me, and we had a cute little tender time. But I have to tell you, that's not the only piranha I've ever put in a loving cup, and I probably will put a few more piranhas in loving cups. But the deal with the piranha in the loving cup is that there's forgiveness, and we can get rid of those piranhas in our loving cups. So families sin, families have hurt, and people hurt people. And if the people closest to you can hurt you the deepest. So this is my personal story. Quite cathartic to write and quite cathartic to give. It's a hard sermon about a wonderful topic, about forgiveness and the freedom to love. I grew up in a large family. There were 7 of us, just like my family has 7. And I had angry, alcoholic parents. My mother was physically and verbally abusive to me. And I've been able to talk to her about some of the stuff that happened. She has been redeemed. She is now a child of God and loves him and is completely not the woman that I grew up with. And so I just want to give God the praise that. And I have permission to tell a couple of the stories. So my mom, when I meant physically abusive, I did mean pulled hair and bloody noses and bruises and slaps and all kinds of stuff. And when I meant verbally abusive, they were words that tore and shred your soul. So this was a long walk for me. My dad, however, he was a fun-loving alcoholic, but pretty much once you turned the age of 11 or 12, he didn't know what to do with you, and he pretty much went to the bar, got drunk, and had multiple affairs. And he just was kind of like gone. And I only remember him laying on the couch late at night. So again, I don't want to demonize my parents at all, because they did place in us some beautiful memories and some strong values. Humor, love of nature, camping, and a great Midwestern work ethic. Get her done. Get her done. So as I said, my family's brokenness is not my topic. This is about my response to the brokenness that occurred in my soul and the healing that God provided through his love as I took this journey. So one of my favorite verses that I use over and over again is Ephesians 1, 2 through 8. And it's, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." You didn't get only a few, you didn't get only a few, you didn't get a couple, I didn't get only one. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So we touch heaven. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." He chose us. That meant a lot to me when I found out I was actually chosen before I even knew Jesus as my Savior. I'm not going to get into the whole theology of it because I don't get it, but I know that I'm chosen. I know that you're chosen. In love, he predestined us for adoption. So not only did he know us, he desired to make us his, to love us, not just to possess, but to love us. And this is according to adoptions through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, which is what he wanted, to the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, redemption for the sins that I have committed and redemption for the things that have been done against me. Forgiveness for our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. And grace is God bestowing pleasure or delight and loving kindness. And that restores us and brings him pleasure to lavish this grace, this loving kindness over us. Lavish is to abound, to overflow abundantly, to furnish one richly. I have been furnished richly with his grace. No matter what I went through, I've been furnished richly in his grace. Like for me, I don't know, it's a hot fudge sundae with lots of chocolate sauce. I don't know what you think of when you think of lavish, but I think of just too much. We are loved and redeemed abundantly as a beloved son or daughter, which means a lot when you have a broken family. When you have a really torn up family, you need to know that you belong somewhere. And for a long time, I didn't belong anywhere. We have a father now who runs and embraces us. He runs to us. He runs to us, overflowing with love, running to us. We are given such an abundance of it that we are able to give it away and eventually forgive if we accept it, if we understand it. And like I said, sin breaks us. Sin committed against us leaves us bitter. You're looking at a person who has walked through God's process of redemption. If you'd have met me before or just after I was a Christian, I was hard. I was walled off. I was really sarcastic, which has got a little left over now. I was depressed, and I was suicidal. I had chosen a day in my life that it was it. That was it. I'm done. I'm out of here. And not to bring, like I said, but my mom gave me permission. She said, go ahead, do it. I don't care. That just rips your soul. But God spoke to me and he said, I love you. I want you here. I have a purpose. So sin breaks us. I was bitter. I was the only girl for 12 years in the family, and I was the brunt of my mother's pain. She had difficulty loving other women. And when we didn't obey, and I was, of course, a woman, so she had trouble with me. And when we didn't obey or follow her directions, she was physically and verbally abusive. It was like, now, you do it. You do what I say. Her words would shred my heart. Shred it. It wasn't just, it really tore. I won't repeat the words. They were painful, searing words, and many times accompanied with the physical strikes. I know what it's like to have bitterness set in your heart and set hard. But forgiving set me free from bitterness to be able to live more securely as a beloved child of my papa, Daddy God. Now, because of the relationship with my father, that was really hard to say, calling him daddy. I didn't really have a daddy. I didn't have someone that I could just crawl up in his lap and feel cuddled and loved by him. So it took me a long time to make that my own, but I said it anyway because it's true. It's true. And so sometimes I just had to repeat the truth that he is my father, my papa, my daddy, who loves me. And it took me a long time to literally, in my mind's eye, get into his lap and accept his hugs. It was hard. But I persisted in it because it frees me from my pain. Every time I got into his lap, it was beautiful. And it is beautiful. God gives us the example of forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, here, as I was able to crawl into my father's lap, I could understand this principle more. You get your God's forgiveness. And then he says in there, as we forgive others. So the more I was able to crawl into my father's lap, the more I was able to forgive what had happened in my past. He calls us If he calls us to forgive, he will equip us to forgive. And he wants us to forgive. He must be able to show us how. And this was not a short journey, I gotta tell you. And there are times I ran to him, I'm like, I don't feel like forgiving. But God, here's some key things to remember, which helped me. God is never out of control or surprised by our lives or what happens in our lives. Past, present, or future. He is not like, whoa, didn't see that coming. Totally not God if that's what happens. Like, whoops, look what happened. Dang it, I wish I was there. He's there. He says he's the God who was there. He established the foundation of the world, the foundation of our very existence, and the foundation of our faith. He delivers lavish grace for our deep pain, and he wants us to succeed in our faith and have joy, not bitterness. It was bitterness that made me walled off and angry, sarcastic, sort of mean. Not a very pleasant person. Forgiveness is a choice that we make with God's love and power. I can't do this on my own. Forgiveness is not a one-time decision. It doesn't just happen once. Whoa, hey, you just ripped my head off. Fine, it's okay, forgive you. Pfft, walk on. It is not sometimes a one-time decision. It can be a daily process. It isn't necessarily easy, but it is always healing, okay? Not easy, but always healing. It heals our souls. God heals our souls and restores hearts when we forgive. He removes the bitter taste of pain. I could taste the bitterness in my soul sometimes when I'd look at my parents and think of how terrible I felt. But he removed that bitter taste of pain, and he made it a sweet taste of love, the taste of his love. One story with my dad where I was learning to live in forgiveness, and so I've been a Christian for a while. My mom and dad had divorced, separated, and that was all horribly painful, but my dad didn't stop caring. He still took care of my mom and paid for bills and helped her out. So one day he was at her house, and I happened to be there as well, and he came in. And I've moved out of my house, and I think I lived out of my house from 18 to 24 when I got married, and my dad visited me twice when I lived on my own. So I really didn't see him unless I made the effort to go see him. So he turns to me and he goes, hey, sis, which is what he called me, sis for sister, because I was the oldest. And he says, you want to go out to dinner with me tonight? Of course! I'm like, yeah, of course, yeah, my daddy wants me. Ooh, my girl's heart's like, yes, my dad wants me. So I run home to St. Charles from my mom's house in West Chicago. My dad goes and gets ready. And then as I'm getting ready, I'm getting dressed. I'm thinking, I get to go out with my daddy. I have not been out with him. He has not treated me. I'm so excited. He calls me on the phone. Hey, I just want to tell you, Gail, my girlfriend's coming with, who he'd had an affair with for a long time while my mom and dad were married. And I said, no, Dad, I really just want you to my, I'm honest, I really just want you to myself. I just really want to spend time with you. I haven't seen you in a while. We don't get together. And I just really wanted to go out to dinner with you. I thought, easy choice for a dad, right? Easy choice. I'm his girl. I'm being honest. He says, no, sorry. It's either me and Gail or nothing. I said, Dad, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can't accept her right now. I just need to say no. And I mean, part of me was like, I'll do anything. But I couldn't. And I hung up the phone and I threw pillows. I punched the couch. I was living on my own with my roommate and I was just full of pain. And what I did is I just recognized that hurt. That just ripped me up. And I was so angry, so upset, but I didn't stay there. So first of all, the process is recognition. Be real with God. Be honest. Tell him how you hurt. Go ahead and punch a pillow. It doesn't really change much. But then realize that God is not surprised. He did not abandon me. He didn't say, hey, your dad doesn't even like you, so why should I bother with you? That is not God's intent. Confess, tell God just what's going on in your soul. Tell him about the confusion, the pain, and the bitterness. Repent. Say, right now, I am bitter. I am bitter. Just say, I don't want this bitterness, and I don't know what to do with it, but God, you know what to do with it. Invite him and seek help. Invite him in and seek help. Be committed to God's loving will and his healing. And then one thing, my roommate came back and saw me just obviously sobbing and upset, and she knew some of my story, and she said, what happened? And I said, told her, and she said, oh my gosh. And so that was my invitation to let her into my pain. I was walled off. I would let nobody know how hurt this was. But this was my invitation to let somebody else into my pain while I was in the middle of it. And we prayed together. So I sought help and counsel. And then the last one was, she turned to me after we prayed and cried and got all messy, and she said, hey, let's go have some fun. As Tom has been talking, I returned to joy at that point. I realized that I couldn't sit there in my bitterness and just wallow in it. I was going to go out and have some fun with my friend. We went out and had ice cream. I think we went bowling. I don't know. But it was a definite choice to not stay in that painful, bitter place, but to return to the joy. I look at healing and forgiveness kind of like an onion. It has layers. But Jesus doesn't leave us alone. He goes into the depth of that onion pain and peels the layers of pain and memories back with us. And you know, if you've ever been in the room while you're cutting an onion, anyone in there with you is crying too. And so he's close. He's weeping with us as we peel away the painful memories that bring us real sorrow. He mourns with us. And I don't think it's like the outside of the onion while we're peeling away. He's crawled inside the onion with us. He's right there in the depth of that difficulty with us. And he releases us from its grip. And sometimes those layers take time and years. But just like when the disciples were in the boat, scared of the storm, they're like, don't you care? God, don't you care? We're about to die. He was with them in the boat. He was not surprised. He was not surprised. And like I said before, forgiveness does not come from a well inside me. There were times I tried to bring it up myself, but it wasn't me. It comes through Christ's love within me. It's only through Christ's lavish, abundant love that I can forgive. So I need to accept his forgiveness and love towards me. And continually, even if you can't get in his lap right now, get as close as you can. Get into a quiet place. Seek prayer, seek counsel, get close. Because his forgiveness and love towards me allows me then to reach into the reservoir of Christ's love. Because it's abundant, it's lavish, it's too much. And I can give it away. It's not easy, but it's always freeing. I forgave my parents and others who hurt me deeply without necessarily having to tell them the truth. Most of this forgiveness I gave to my parents was without having to have that big conversation of, well, do you know what you did? Because here's the truth. For whatever reason, the other person, it's not mine to know why the other person, does not have the capacity to forgive or even to think they need forgiveness. I can't control their emotions. I only know what I'm feeling. I leave them and their lives to God. Sometimes there might be a needed talk. I'm not saying there is no time for that, but do that with much prayer, with a trusted mentor, pastor, and receive counsel. God releases our souls when we forgive, whether or not they asked for it. God releases our soul, whether or not they said, I'm sorry. Forgiveness is much deeper than a feeling. If we wait till we feel like forgiving, we will never actually forgive. I had to literally say, I forgive you, but the pain still resided, but I had to continually give it over to God. The pain residing in my heart happened before I was 18 when I moved out. It was tumultuous. I had become a Christian at about 17, 18, and things got worse. I thought it would get better, but it got worse. My mom became more physically abusive. You're thinking at 17 and 18, it's time to stop hitting your kids. But my mom was in so much pain. There were so many piranhas swimming around in her loving cup that she didn't know the difference. All she wanted was the pain to go away from her. And if you caused her pain in any way, she would she would lash out. So my moving day was a huge lash out. It was awful. I got tossed out. I was told how horrible I was. I bloodied nose and everything. And I admit, I was not in the best of places either. She came to hit me, and in my bitterness and pain, that I went and hit back. And that was actually wrong. So there was a cost to my unforgiveness. What happened, I will tell you. I moved out, drove around in my car for about an hour and a half, wondering what I'm going to do, threw half my clothes in the dumpster because I thought, who needs all these clothes because I'm only in a car? But thank the Lord, a good friend took me in for a while until I could settle somewhere else. And I wrestled all night long with God, literally a Jacob wrestling. I didn't know what to do. I made little bit of money and couldn't really afford to live on my own, and I just didn't know what was going to happen. And that's when I first read Matthew, that he takes care of the sparrows. And God soothed my soul and said, I'm still here. Crawl into my lap. Accept my love. And then I said, I don't want a relationship with my mother that's based on this anger. And I don't want my sister, who was 12 years younger than me, to grow up having to choose between mother and sister because she loved me as much, if not more, than she loved my mother. And this is what God said to me. I really wanted to do what he wanted me to do. That's a hard place to get, but I did. And he showed up. So I said, God, what should I do? And he said, call your mom and say you're sorry. Are you God? Did you just see what happened? And he said, yes, actually, I saw every single thing that happened, and I am grieving because it was wrong. What happened to you was wrong. But, he goes, you need to own the part that I tell you to own. And I didn't have to go into detail about how you did this and I did this. All he said was say, I'm sorry for how it happened. I really don't want this kind of relationship between us. Can we move forward from here? And my mom was still bitter and angry and gave me a few horrible words. But God said, you will see unforgiveness in her break because this is the first time she's been forgiven without really knowing that she really messed up. And I just ushered in forgiveness. And I got to tell you, that right there, that position of me saying, I am sorry for what I have done, broke open God's love into her heart. Beyond what I could do, no sermon preached at her would have brought her closer to the love of God than my ability to forgive her in the midst of her crap. Sorry, but it was. So there's a cost for unforgiveness. It allows bitterness to grow. And at that point, I was considering the cost of being a bitter person toward my mother and having my sister grow up with a bitter lifestyle. I was hard, unloving, afraid, depressed, and fearful without forgiveness. It also opens the door to the enemy. And literally, Satan was definitely a part of that picture. And we were both angry like hornets. It makes us captive to the person, pain or memory of hurt. It made me captive to everything she had done. I would replay and replay and replay, and suddenly I'd be like, you deserve every single bad thing that happens to you. And may I bring it? That was my heart. That was my heart. But he broke that in me when I started to learn to live in the forgiveness and love of God. It grieves God when we don't forgive. His desire to lavish us with love and healing, our unforgiveness hinders our ability to receive his love. I will tell you, forgiveness unlocks love. It unlocks love to come to me. It unlocks love to give away. When we forgive, it unlocks my heart to receive the gift of God's love and give it away. I have learned to look at my upbringing differently, especially realizing just how flawed I am by putting piranhas in my own children's loving cups. I saw the piranhas in my own loving cup and wanted God to get rid of them. I can't reach my hand in that cup because it'll get bit. I have been able to see my parents through eyes of grace. And my mom and I have a decent relationship now. It's not perfect, not perfect. And I was able to help my mom and dad through some difficult times. Even though there was a time I was so bitter, I could taste that in my soul. My dad recently died in December, and I was able to be his care provider for the last year of his life, and really got to see God do some wonderful things. I don't know if he accepted the Lord, but I just saw God do things that I couldn't imagine. If I'd have let bitterness stay there, I wouldn't have visited him. I wouldn't have asked for him to come to my neighborhood to live near me. I would have been like, no, go take care of yourself. You did this. But no. So I want to tell you what forgiveness is not, though. Forgiveness is not giving bad behavior or a wrong action done to us a pass or an okay sticker. I did not give an okay sticker to my mom's mistreatment of me. I did not give an okay sticker to my dad's abandonment of me. I just took it and gave it to God. I gave it to God. It doesn't release the person from their guilt. When I forgive them, if they're guilty, they're guilty. But I'm forgiving them. I'm releasing them. I don't have to hold them accountable at all. It's God's business. Forgiveness is allowing us to remove the person from the hook of my justice and placing him on the hook of God's justice and care. He really does want to save that horrible person that's been mean to you. Really, I know that's horrible to hear sometimes because they were so nasty. But we want redemption. That's what he's all about. That's God's glory, not my glory. And it removes the control that they or the memories have over me. When I forgive, truly say, it's your business, God, not mine. I am able to take that dumpster of memories and mourn over them with Jesus and the onion of pain, the whole thing, like, look, this is awful. I get to take the bag and throw it into the dumpster. Because it says, cast all your cares on him. Cast is to throw, to whip away, to get rid of. Don't you just love when the garbage man comes and all that crud that smelled in that garbage can goes away and you never see it again? Jesus does that for us. He is the eternal dumpster. Ooh, I mean, really, I don't know if he likes to be called that, but I just was like, man, I get to whip that junk off my soul and onto him. And literally, he steps in front of us. Almost at my time, but I have one more story. When my parents, they were volatile with each other. And one day, they were having a huge argument about something. And they were actually using my 18-month-old brother to stop the other from hitting each other, kind of like a shield. And I was 12, around 12, or no, I was younger. I was like 10, and just horrified to watch my parents in such an angry place that they couldn't see that they were using my brother as a shield against the volatility. And I was like, oh. And so I ran up and grabbed my brother, and then in my mind's eye, in my child's mind's eye, I am standing there holding them back from my parents' just anger and just feeling so alone. So that came up in a prayer session. I was having Emmanuel Sozo or some sort of prayer session with a deep prayer counselor, and they said, that memory came up, and they said, where's Jesus? And I'm like, I don't know. He's standing in the corner wringing his hands going, I wish I could help you. You don't know me, so I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I just felt so alone. And she said, no, stop. She said, stop. You know the word of God. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus in this place? And all of a sudden, she said, ask him. Jesus, where are you? And he said, I'm standing right in front of you, absorbing all that pain and all that violation. He took it literally as if he were right here. He wasn't standing in some corner going, oh, too bad, so sad, I wish I could do something. He was standing there, even though I didn't know him. Like that woman said, the angels don't take their eyes off the children. Where is God, we ask? He is there. He's not on the side. He is with us. He is being violated with us. It says in Romans 15:13, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So Jesus says, I took those reproaches. And I looked up the word reproach, and it means to be ripped by one's teeth. That's sometimes how badly we're hurt when someone has done something wrong to us, it feels like we've been ripped by one's teeth. And that's how much God understands that we've been hurt, because it says, the ripping of your soul ripped my soul. If I could refocus on Romans 15. And I can take that and understand that he understands my pain. Allow yourself to grieve. Yes, yes. Allow yourself to grieve. Do it with a friend, a counselor, with Jesus. But then allow Jesus to take the pain. See him doing it. Here are some healing verses that I like to use. Of course, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares and suffering on him because he cares for you. And he says, I will never leave or forsake you. That meant a ton to me when I felt very forsaken by those who should have loved me the most. And when it's hard, when I feel forsaken, confess it. Say, I feel forsaken. I feel pain. He wants to come. And I love Isaiah 51:3. God comforts us in our ruins. I just see myself sitting among all those cushions I threw the day my dad told me he didn't want to go out with me. And I remember sitting there, and then my friend was literally the comfort in my ruins. But there are times he came to me when there was nobody there, and he comforted me in the middle of my pain. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden. My life is more like Eden than a wilderness that I first, when I first came to Christ, it was a wilderness. And her desert, like the garden of the Lord, joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and the voice of song. I can sing really honestly about God's love. Because it has come here. It has taken all those onions. And I'm not saying that every once in a while you can get struck again, or pain will never affect me, or a memory will never come back. But I now know how to handle it. There was something that happened literally this Easter. Someone who'd hurt me very deeply did it again. It hurt. But what the best thing about is it was kind of like a new wound. It wasn't an old pussy wound that had festered and festered until it got touched. I'm like, oh. And when it happened, I ran immediately to the Lord and said, God, what do I do? I'm really mad and hurt and upset, and I really need to have you tell me. And he did, and things were made right again. He taught me what to do, even though the pain still hurts. I can forgive. Jesus made it possible by taking my sins and the sins that were done against me on my behalf. And it says, like I said, we can't do this in our power. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And Jesus knows how this feels. When they hurled their insults at him, we've all had insults hurled at us. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. I may never get what I think I deserve. I mean, like, oh, when my grandma died, my family came over and everyone took stuff. I mean, there are some things that were actually mine that they took. But the fact was, the most important thing is that God has everything I need. So why do I need that piece of china? Or why do I need that? Because he's got everything I need. I'm going to entrust my soul and to those people who harm me, to him. I don't have to hold my mom or my dad or the person who brings me pain accountable. God does that, and he does it well. And it says, by his wounds you are healed. And he was wounded on our behalf as well. So when the memories or pain come, run to him as a child, as the child of a loving father, okay? Even though it's hard for some of us to do, just practice that. Practice that. Pray. Call on the Lord to fill you. Read the word. I remind myself of his lavish love and break the lies of the enemy. I worship. if I can't get to the word, there was one time I was so upset, I said, God, I'm not even going to read your Bible. You're going to have to tell me in music. And he did. The worship proclaimed the greatness of God over my life. Seek godly counsel and deep, intimate prayer. Emmanuel prayer, sozo prayer. Come forward for prayer. Call the church office and set up a counseling time with someone who can pray for you, over you, because he wants us to be released and healed. Forgiveness is a blessing, and there's always hope. So I'm going to ask the communion service to come forward, because I want us to, as we're taking communion this time, usually I think of all the things I did, you know, which is totally appropriate, and ask forgiveness for them. But I want you to bring those things that you feel that you want God to help you forgive to him as you take communion. And think about the ways that he has not only died for the sins that you committed, but he died for the sins that were committed against you. I really want you to focus in on there and allow God to start breaking through the bitterness and the hardness and letting him love us. So, thank you. Daddy God, we just commit this time of communion to gratefulness for all the pain that you took on the cross on our behalf. And Lord, I pray for every person out there who just really needs to receive that love, lavish love, and to understand the depth of the freedom forgiveness will give you, will give them, Lord God, and how you stand there waiting to show them how much more the love can flow. So in Jesus' name, we just commit this time of communion to you and say thank you, God, for the way that you love and the way that you forgive. In Jesus' name.